2003 Salt Lake Sunstone Symposium presents Session 101, Science and Humility, a paper presented by Terry Terman.
Good morning, and welcome to Session 101, our devotional, Science and Humility. Our speaker this morning is Terry Terman, who lives in Mountain View, California. He has a B.S. in physics from Stanford and an M.S. in physics from Caltech. He has put on 50 science fiction conventions and shows in Western United States and Canada from 1975 to 1982. And he has run all-day ropes trainings from 1986 through 1990. He joined the LDS Church in March of 1983 in Los Altos, California, and has been attending Sunstone Symposiums for the past 10 years. We'd like you all to welcome Terry Terman.
Well, we have a limited amount of time, so let me proceed with the talk, and we may or may not get slides. The slides on the projector are just astronomical slides of nebulae and star clusters within our own galaxy and then also outside our galaxy. And it's not really, you know, it's not really a lecture on astronomy this morning. That is for background. The abstract. For years I've sided with science teachers against fundamentalists who wanted our public schools to teach the creation of everything a few thousand years ago as an alternative scientific theory. But now, one of the three skeletons in the closet of science is sticking its head out the closet door and attracting public attention. This can be healthy if it doesn't interfere with teaching the many sound findings of science. Most scientists firmly believe chance acted randomly in the past. This firm belief is now being challenged as an act of faith on their part. Modern science surrounds us these days. The global functioning position, GPS, uses Einstein's theory of special and general relativity to find locations precisely using orbiting satellites. Computers and modern televisions are based on the quantum mechanics of solid-state physics. The Hubble telescope orbiting the Earth sees a galaxy 12 billion light-years away. That's 670 million miles per hour. Geologists and paleontologists determined that a circle of rocks 112 miles across in Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula was made by an asteroid that killed off the planet 65 million years ago. Radioactivity dates Earth at 4.6 billion years. The whole universe is three times that age since it started with the Big Bang. Darwin, 1859, Charles Darwin published On the Origin of Species, claiming a single species, a finch, had evolved into several new species in the Galapagos Islands 600 miles west. Okay, we need to get the picture up onto the screen.
Yeah, we can only put them in one at a time.
Apparently. Really?
This is not the right tray. So
this will illustrate your lecture, this one slide.
This one slide, how things can go wrong with technical science here. Okay, that is a exploding. That's slide number one. We have some very beautiful slides. Actually, this set of slides that I'm showing today was taken by David Marlin, in a British astronomer who moved to Australia and took a lot of pictures with the 4-meter diameter telescope, that's about 158-inch diameter, in Australia. And many of these are wide angle shots that are much wider angle than Hubble would cover. That's a nebulae within a rich star field left over from an exploding star. Okay, we have, Darwin's book didn't say humans had evolved, but others quickly did. At the time, most geologists believed the Earth was at least tens of millions of years old. biblical creation. Then and now, biblical literalists argued God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden about 6,000 years after creating the heavens and earth, and no more than 12,000 years ago. The book of Genesis said God made Adam and Eve from Adam's, and Eve from Adam from clay and Eve from Adam's rib on the sixth day of creation. But one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, according to Psalm 90 in 2 Peter. Scientific breakthroughs. Until 1924, many astronomers claimed a Milky Way galaxy contained the whole visible universe and was only 24,000 light years in diameter, and thus 12,000 years old. Then Edward Hubble, the Hubble telescope is named after, proved the Great Spiral Nebula in Andromeda to be a galaxy like a Milky Way, but over 1 million light years away. Back then, radioactivity proved some Earth rocks to be billions of years old, and primitive human fossils were found in South Africa that were not just a different species of human, but a different genus, differing from us as much as a hyena differs from a dog. The conflict between science and literal reading of Genesis could no longer be dismissed as scientific error. Human fossils today. We now have a sequence of human-like fossils, including many species and several genera, going back to over 4 million years ago. The oldest show ape-like heads on erect bodies. They walked on two legs but had stiff wrists inherited from their knuckle-walking days. The earliest known stone tools made by humans are about 2.6 million years old, found in eastern Africa. Yeah, DNA, we all know about that today. All life on Earth uses helical molecules of DNA to convey heredity information from our DNA from a one generation to the next. DNA is found in every cell. Crime labs use DNA like fingerprints. They also use DNA to determine the parents of abducted small children. Biologists find we share 98.5% of our DNA with chimpanzees and 25% of our DNA with radishes. All human races share 99.9% of their DNA. The DNA similarities between various types of plants and animals correlate well with a traditional classification by physical form. The oldest fossils, microscopic algae, are 3.8 billion years old. All this points to a common origin for all life on Earth about 4 billion years ago. Intelligent design. The massive evidence above has helped American courts declare creation science a religious dogma which does not belong in our public schools. Leaving fundamentalist dogma behind, however, a new group of evolutionists have arisen under the banner of intelligent design. Now the heart of a bitter debate in Ohio about how science and evolution should be taught in the public schools. And where they search biology for evidence of complexities that could not arrive by chance. We have sex mixes the DNA of parents randomly into in their offspring. Even bacteria can swap DNA. Viruses can move DNA between totally unrelated species, even between plants and animals. But most mutations are harmful or neutral. Only a few are beneficial. The problem is especially acute in animals that produce not thousands of eggs or offspring, but just a few as humans do. Random changes are usually had bad for an airplane or a airplane design or a computer, as are typos in the paper, but often okay in art. Nevertheless, almost all biologists feel no need of faith to explain any biological system. Biology evolves through random DNA recombinations, mutations, combined with the natural selection of the ecosystem, in the view of majority of scientists. Okay, we have the first skeleton in the closet of science is that it likes only strictly deterministic laws, such as the law of gravity, as it operates in the solar system, plus pure randomness, since mathematics describes both. How could intelligent design by an unknown agent or principle be treated mathematically? Yet no proof for any that any event in the past was really random as possible. How could one do a controlled experiment on the past? Scientists believe in randomness of past events strictly as an act of faith. The second skeleton in the closet of science arises from the paradoxes of Zeno, about 300 BC, Greek founder of Stoicism. Zeno said to reach a doorway 4 feet away, one must first go halfway, 2 feet, then half again, 1 foot, then halfway a third time, 6 inches, and so on for an infinity of halfway steps. Modern math is okay with this, but the laws of physics completely break down. At distances equal to about the 116th Zeno step, namely the Black Planck length, named after the founder of quantum mechanics. But so what? The sphere of this diameter is as much smaller than an atom as an atom is smaller than the entire solar system with all its outer comets half a light year across. 10 to the 70th power bigger and smaller than an atom is what we're talking about. Third skeleton in the closet of science is that atoms and particles known to science make up only 4% of the mass of the universe. This is incredible. Everything we can see, everything that our instruments can detect, makes up only 4%. Dark matter, makes up 23% of the universe. It is invisible at all wavelengths and is detected only by its gravitational pull or attraction. Dark matter may have caused stars and galaxies to form from the primordial hydrogen and helium gas. The remaining 73% is even more mysterious. Dark energy, detected only by its anti-gravity push, which is accelerating the expansion of the universe. Thus, unknown 96% should make scientists humble. And that within that 96% may even be spirits and angels and who knows what. Okay, the second, how are we doing on slides here?
How fast do you want to go?
Well, we've got a total of 60 to go through. We need about 3 or 4 minutes. We're getting into the... Don't have time. We don't have time really to stop and explain slides. Okay, second half of the paper is about the Mormon view of Adam and Eve in modern science. The Mormon doctrine of pre-existence can reconcile the Genesis story of Adam and Eve with modern science. Adam and Eve can be the first humans and first Earth life to have had an individual rather than a collective pre-existence. More than Moses 3 is quoted in support of this. Abraham 3 and DNC 138 are quoted to suggest lessons are given to us in the pre-existence. This, of course, is before we are born, part of Mormon doctrine. If you're not Mormon, you may be wonder about that. Encyclopedia Mormonism, with 13 contributing errors, editors from mostly from Brigham Young University will be quoted here as reflecting official attitudes of the LDS establishment. On evolution, it quotes First Pregnancy in 1906. Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, basing its belief on divine revelation, ancient and modern, declares man to be the direct and lineal offspring of deity. Man is the child of God, formed in the divine image and endowed with divine attributes. And Ian continues, the scriptures tell why man was created, but they do not tell how, though the Lord has promised that he will tell us that when he comes again. In 1931, when there was an intense discussion on the issue of organic evolution, the first presidency of the church, consisting then of Heber Grant, Irvins, and Dibley, and that's the year I was born, addressed all the general authorities of the church as follows. Upon the fundamental doctrines of the church, we all agree. Our mission is to bear the message of the restored gospel of the world, leaving geology, biology, archaeology, and anthropology, which no one of which has to do with salvation of the souls of men, to scientific research, where we magnify our calling in the realm of the church. Upon one thing we should be able to agree, namely that Presidents Smith, Linder, and Lund were right when they said, Adam is the primal parent of our race. On science and religion, it continues, in the 20th century, changes due to Einstein, Hubble, and Hawking, science itself continues in a state of constant flux, so that the total collection of scientific ideas at any point in time could never be considered final truth. Realizing this, the scholars today recognize the older descriptions of conflict or open warfare between science and Christianity as are often mistaken. Nor could LDS thinking about science be described in this way. Modern humans are generally recognized as beginning with the Cro-Magnons of Europe about 40,000 BC, who, by the way, had larger brains than contemporary mankind does. By 30,000 BC, they're drawing magnificent cave paintings that have survived to this day. The earliest settlements began shortly after the end of the Ice Age, just 10,000 years ago. The earliest known writings occur in Mesopotamia and Egypt about 3,250 BC. It's interesting to note that the ancient Sumerians who lived near the junction of the Hiddekel and Euphrates rivers, mentioned in Genesis 2:14, invented writing, and the ancient Sumerians actually listed Adam as their first king. This is clay tablets that survive today. This is perhaps consistent with the biblical Adam having invented writing. The date for Adam differs between the Hebrews and Septuagint versions of Genesis, but it's would be back in the 4th millennium BC. Our species Homo sapiens goes back about a quarter million years with no sharp boundary between earliest Homo sapiens and the prior Homo erectus. Genetic drift estimates suggest all living humans have a common female ancestor who lived about 150 to 200,000 years ago in Africa, based on the DNA of each cell outside the cell nucleus, which is inherited only through the female line. This is a scientific Eve. Genetic drift estimates similarly suggest that all humans have a common male ancestor who also lived about 150 to 200,000 years ago, scientific Adam, based on the DNA of the Y chromosome that exists in each cell and is inherited only through the male line. Scientists do not expect that this Adam and the scientific Eve to have lived at exactly the same time and place. And they can't prove they didn't either. Scientific Adam did not necessarily know scientific Eve. Okay. Adam and Eve as primal parents. Can the biblical Adam and Eve be our primal parents in the context of the above modern understanding of how humans evolved? Science says all humans have physical parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents, etc. Science does not, however, address the issue of our spiritual souls. How did they evolve? Adam and Eve could be the first in some spiritual way. They could be the first to enter into a biblical-type covenant with the Lord, but that does not really make them primal. It just makes them the first to be good in the eyes of the Lord. Could they be the first humans to have immortal souls? I think not. That's too big a break with their immediate parents. It makes their parents seem essentially subhuman. We need a distinction that is both unique and subtle. Okay, a first in the pre-existence. Latter-day Saints can deal with the above questions and problems much more effectively than other Christians because of their belief in a spiritual pre-existence prior to the time we're born on Earth. We need first to discuss the status of animals in the pre-existence. Moses 3.5 reads in full, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God, I created all things of which I have spoken. spiritually created before they were naturally upon the face of the earth. For I, the Lord God, had not caused it to rain upon the face of the earth, and I, the Lord God, had created all the children of men, and not yet a man to till the ground. For in heaven created I them, and there was not yet flesh upon the earth, neither in the water nor neither in the air. All living things were thus created spiritually before they existed physically on earth. Obviously not every plant that ever grew could have an individual spiritual pre-existence. The plants of the same species must have had a spiritual pre-existence that is collective. It would also be collective for animals of the same species. Okay, so animal versus individual pre-existence. I tried the bad idea out on Larry Hansen, the former LDS state president in my world, who was rather conservative. He agreed that similar animals had a collective pre-existence. Of course, this doesn't mean we would necessarily agree with everything in this paper. Individual pre-existence of the noble and great is also found in Adam and Abraham too. Now the Lord had shown unto thee, Abraham, intelligences that were organized before the world was. And among all these, there were many of the noble and great ones. And God saw these souls, that they were good, and he stood in the midst of them, and he said, these I will make my rulers. When in evolution does collective pre-existence become individual? I say it starts with Adam and Eve. Lessons in the pre-existence. Now, DNC 138 is a vision given to President Joseph S. Smith in Salt Lake City, 1918. It makes clear the individual primordial existence of everyone and the lessons they receive to prepare them for the physical world. The prophet Joseph Smith and my father, Hiram Smith, Brigham Young, and the great ones who were chosen in the beginning to be rulers of the Church of God, even before they were born, they, with many others, received their first lessons in the world of spirits and were prepared to enter into, to come forth in due time. Human spirits are thus prepared in their pre-existence with lessons for the mortal life in an earth simulator. The Bible stories and science. We can now take any science conflict with the Old Testament and say it's a lesson from the pre-existence, an earth simulator and a metaphor. Noah's flood occurs in tribal regions all over the world, a Carl Jung type archetype, but is not found in geology or paleontology, so it's a lesson for us in the pre-existence. Even from the tree of knowledge of good and evil is a metaphor for becoming individuals. Being expelled from the Garden of Eden is a metaphor for acquiring a physical body. And that is the end of the paper. And we're, slide started late. I got the end of the slides too. What you, okay. This one is a galaxy seen near the edge on, so you can see dark grains of dust on the lower left. Those dark grains of dust are where new stars are still forming in that galaxy, and in our own galaxy we get new stars all the time. Our sun being a rather middle-aged star, as they say, the universe is three times the age of our Earth. And yeah, the Sombrero galaxy, that one is called, you see the dark dust lines very sharply. This is a little bit like what our own galaxy would look like seen from outside here. Okay, we have, well, ask some questions. We have limited time. We start.
We get a little bit of a late start, there is 15 minutes until the next session, so if you have one or two questions, we could take the questions. And let me just say up front, thank you, Terry, for your paper and for these beautiful slides. They're really amazing. Does anyone have any questions? At the back.
Stick figures, but I have never seen magnificent. the question is, by 30,000 BC, they were drawing magnificent cave paintings, and the question is, he's seen stick figures, but not magnificent ones, but I've seen the horses.
Okay. Well, there are, over a period of 20,000 years, paintings were drawn in caves in southern France, and they went through different styles of art, just as we've had realism and romanticism and Picasso at different stages in our art. They also had different stages in art of the cave paintings, and it's sometimes they're drawing stick figures, but there are other times of really magnificent paintings of horses and bison and woolly rhinoceroses and of many animals that became extinct during the ice ages appeared on the walls of the cave. So you haven't seen pictures of all the caves, or you've seen pictures from elsewhere if you say they're not magnificent drawings.
Well, I've seen the ones you're talking about, and I guess it's all in the eye of the beholder.
Well, certainly the be aware that those paintings are way back deep into those caves, some of them as much as a mile from the entrance, and people had to go back in there with nothing more than some sort of crude candle or something candle-like that's a wick in a container of oil. So illumination to do those paintings. So, you know, they did those under, not with electric lights shining on them and all the modern conveniences, and they were, of course, the center of religious ritual. And, by the way, we have graves from that period, even graves of Neanderthal man, more crude version of humans, that show burials with ritual from that time period, indicating a religious belief in the afterlife. Anybody else have questions? Yes, Lord.
You were talking about Adam and Eve. When you speak about Adam and Eve, and I know what you refer to as like mankind, before Adam and Eve, they looked at the Bible and what's the significance before
you,
and in reference to man and
mankind? In the Bible? Or in science. Well, we have skeletons, we have stone tools going back continuously for a million years. So there is a gradual change there that you can see in terms of the tools made and used and in terms of the bones. And all this gradual change, how can Adam and Eve be first and unique in some way? When they had parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and so on, how did they differ from their parents? And my proposal is that Adam and Eve, is that they all had a pre-existent souls prior to being born on Earth, but Adam and Eve were the first with an individual pre-existence. Of course, they all had individual post-existences, as in our pets, our dogs and cats we have as pets. As a post-existence, they have an individual soul. Prior to being born, they have only a collective soul. This is my proposition here to make Adam and Eve spiritually unique and propose a general solution to dealing with scientific questions in the Bible. Well, this is something that the Lord did. He chose at some point to say, now these two people will have an individual souls in the pre-existence, and they will be prepared in advance for a specific role as individuals on Earth to be Adam and Eve. Yes?
If the species, the salmon was distributed across the globe, according to, as I understand, scientific theories would suggest by that,
yeah,
then Adam and Eve would have been marked to be special in one particular location, But their progeny, you know, it could have been their progeny that became the human race. It would have been all these
Well, people. That is up to the Lord. The Lord wants to change his policy. He can, and he can start introducing individual premortal existence for humans all across the globe, if he so chooses. You know, I mean.
That part of your model suggests that Adam and Eve were marked special, but around that time, the whole globe.
That certainly is possible. Of course, you notice that Adam and Eve and Cain are, they're building, Cain built, the firstborn of Adam and Eve goes out and builds a city full of people, and their city has lots of people, and then they're marrying one another, and you have to have wives for the descendants, and husbands for the daughters, and so on, so that it's all coming about. I don't claim to fine-tune this, I'm just giving a general idea out here to approach this. Okay, we're about out of time because the next session starts in 6 minutes. I myself, I'm not giving a session, I am chairing a session this afternoon on science fiction, on the Inklings, and which about 3 o'clock, at which time if you think of further questions, you could catch me there. I also have out a paper on the subject of blacks in the priesthood, which they didn't have time to fit into the program. We've got about 8 different papers or sessions devoted to the question of blacks in the priesthood. But copies of that paper will be set out where there is a session dealing with blacks in the priesthood. The theme of the paper being is that there were 4 or 5 black priests solely in the Old Testament from the days of Exodus on to King David. Thank you very much.
Oh, I didn't see
that.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Are you an actor?
Yes.
So you're basically offering a solution to
Yes. Yes. And a general approach, yes.
Go ahead. I don't understand your take on intelligent design. Did you think that was a reasonable alternative to the creation, 6,000-year creation?
Well, yes, because in the first place, we're looking at things that are billions of years old because it's taken light billions of years to travel to us. So obviously the universe wasn't created 6,000 or 12,000 BC. And so, you know, the idea of being that literal is not feasible these days.
But the Dubinsky intelligent design has some merit.
Well, intelligent design says that God is in there,
somehow
involved in the process, yes.
Now here's the other question I have for you that I thought was fascinating. If the universe is 12 billion years old and our planet itself is 5 billion years
yes.
old, or 4 billion,
yeah.
then we only have time for like 2 or 3 cycles of this kind of thing that's going on with us in terms of creating God. So
yes.
is it possible, I don't understand how it's possible that God could be created within this universe? Wouldn't he have to pre...
Okay, that's another...